Hey, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Leah. Hi, Leah.
Hi, everybody.
And Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Hello.
We are coming to you on a special day. This is Monday of Memorial Day. We took the whole weekend to be productive. Were we productive, friends?
We were not productive. Hey, I did laundry.
Reading books is productive.
I was going to say reading books is productive. That's what I did all weekend.
I mean, I read a lot this weekend. I ate a lot. I drank a decent amount, and I read a lot.
I did drink a lot. I did drink a lot this weekend. I was just telling Amanda that I'm going to finish May having read probably 13 or 14 books. That is the most books I have read in a month.
That was like your first 3 months of the year.
Yeah. I'm so excited. But I did. I had a great kind of reading weekend.
I think part of it, though, we've all kind of went like rogue.
Yeah.
Just have read.
Oh, yeah.
Just some crazy, like out of the box type of things that we usually do.
Right. I think so. Well, I just kind of disconnected a little bit. I just, work was slow last week. I kind of just took the week and I read a lot and I was happy with that. I'm happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot to define our term of the week. So we can talk about it.
Then?
We can talk about it. We just don't have an official definition because I didn't do the research.
It written down on the doc.
I didn't. So we're going to wing it.
Oh, okay.
We're just going to wing it.
I like it when we wing it.
Our term of the week this week is plot holes.
Oh, we did talk about that.
We talked about it in a text message as we were prepping for the episode, but we didn't necessarily actually define it.
It's true.
So oftentimes when we review a book, we will say that book was fine, but there were some plot holes. So one of the things that comes up often is, what do we mean when we say plot holes? So for me, when I say that I feel like this book had a plot hole, there are things within the story that are brought up, but they're never really woven into the fabric of the story. There's no reason for them to be there, or it's left open without definition. Basically, a hole that you could fall into.
Like it's mentioned and then never mentioned again.
A really great and easy example to use is Heartless. I believe it's Heartless by Elsie Silver. The one that's the single dad nanny book. I think it's book 2 in the Chestnut Springs series.
You're asking the wrong person.
I didn't read it.
In that book, the heroine talks about how desperately close she is to her parents. She talks at length about her mom and her dad and how close she was as family. And then when push came to shove, she ends up accidentally pregnant. We never meet them, not even an epilogue. Mm-hmm. And there's another line in the book where her dad is a famous rock star. And the hero talks about how much like that is his rock star. Like he loves his music, loves that guy. And again, dad
never shows up.
They never show up. There's never a phone call. Like she accidentally gets pregnant. She leaves and goes back to the city, leaves the ranch. There's never a
conference,
but never a conversation with her parents. And it just, that's a hole.
You know, like family is often a hole.
Yeah. Absolutely. Or it could just be something like in romantic suspense, a lot of plot holes can also be red herrings, but they never really flesh them out.
Yeah.
Like, do we need to know that they're, even in any contemporary romance, do we need to know their favorite drink is a Diet Coke with lemon? Why is that information there? What does it lead us to? What is important
it's not
to
really
highlight
important.
That? It's not.
Or it was important in like the first like go round. But then they changed things and forgot to change that.
And that can be a bit of a plot hole. We can just know that they drank something. We don't need to know their specific drink of choice if it never leads to a conversation somewhere else down the line in the book.
Yeah.
And it's really kind of think of a plot hole is if you're braiding a thing of hair, it's a piece of hair that just kind of gets left off. It might have started in the braid, but now it's, you know, halfway down the middle and you lost that piece of hair and it's a wispy now.
A wispy. That's what we're going to call plot holes.
Plot holes are now wispies.
The wispies.
Okay, so that's our term of the week this week. I have a couple other, especially going into Pride Month next month, several people asked us to define terms like male, male, female, male, female, male. Like, what does that mean exactly? So we're going to get into that next time. So on today's episode, we are raising our glasses to celebrate some of the best romance novels that are all about drinks, whether it's brewers crafting the perfect pint, distillers creating smooth spirits, venters pouring their passion into every bottle, or the charming atmosphere of bars where love blossoms. We've got it all covered. So sit back, relax, and join us as we explore the intoxicating world of romance novels where love and libations go hand in hand. Cheers to great reads and even better company. I'm kind of excited to talk about this because there's some books forthcoming later this year that are on my TBR. Plus, we have a road trip planned.
That's true.
So we're going to become one with bourbon.
I don't know about that, but we're going to try. We're going to try our hardest.
So
you may kick us out.
So let's talk about the role of the setting in the drink-centric romances. So I think that oftentimes a lot of these types of books, oh, I should mention Venter is the same as a winemaker, just a fancy name for winemaker. Someone, Jenny didn't know that this morning, so, because she's like, don't you mean winery? It's also
spelled really weird, so.
It is, but it's the official term, right?
It is the official term, yes. Okay. Yeah, because like the venters make the wine, the sommeliers talk about the wine.
Yeah. Well, and I believe that Amanda is our go-to wine person around here.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Yeah. Amanda has all the wine.
There is the technical term, but yeah, most people say winemaker.
Winemaker. Mm-hmm. So oftentimes we can think of distilleries, vineyards, bars, and such as close proximity, co-worker-styled romances. Right? Many of them?
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of them.
But I think there's a unique setting when it's not the same kind of setting as you would see in an office space or working in a hospital, right? No. There's a different feel to the setting.
Mm-hmm. Well, because there's like that, well, especially in like the vineyards, there's like that, the vines, like the vines are oftentimes like their own character because the vines are so important. But yeah, it definitely like it creates this other layer to the story.
I think there's like a science too. Wouldn't you say that it's like blue collar science mix to these types of romances?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, there's definitely a science. There's a highbrow science. I mean, not highbrow, but like a high level is the word I was going for of science when you get down to the chemistry of making wines and mixing. And I think the same can be said for any kind of distillery, especially like when you're getting into the darker distilleries, you know, like bourbon or rum or those types of things, because you're usually adding something to it, you know, with the type of wood that it's barreled in or something else that's adding flavor. So you can get, you know, it can get very technical.
Yeah.
Well, and like any brewery, like near me, it's always about like what kind of like the hops are using, like the blends, the mashes, like all those, like there's so many different elements that like have to come together to get the right flavor. And it's like, how long are they brewing it? Like there is like a real science to it and thought like about what flavors mix well together.
Yeah.
Stacy makes a good point. She said that they also have farming and ranch vibes, especially with the vineyards.
Mm-hmm.
So if we think about the setting alone, are there any particular romance you can think of where the setting of the vineyards or the setting of the brewery or the setting of the distillery is actually a character all of its own? Like it kind of shines a little brighter than any of the other characters. And the one that comes to mind for me is The Villa by Nora Roberts. We have a quick shot coming up, Amanda and I just did, of that. The vineyard itself had its own vibe.
Yeah, it's very much a character in that book. I mean, because the whole book is focused around kind of like the harvest and them merging two wineries. So I think that one's very much a character.
It makes me think that book always me I was trying to think about it the other day, and there's a Keanu Reeves in the clouds or something like that,
Oh, yeah.
where he goes and fake relationship, fake marries the heiress to the winery.
I haven't watched that in forever. I don't even remember the plot of that one.
Is
I
that
just,
that one?
yes, it's like in the clouds or something.
I don't remember
Anyway,
that.
I always think of that because in that movie itself, the winery, the vineyard, the vines were their own character. They drove every point of action in that book or in that movie, they drove that story. And so that's what I was kind of thinking, like in the villa, that's what happens. The vines, the vineyard itself is driving the story forward. I
I
also
feel
feel,
like
go
the
ahead.
in those ones it's more of the winery side of it, 'cause like the ones with the bars and stuff, it's naturally just a setting for it. And the breweries, there's more building to it, but it's like when it has that natural like growth, 'cause like the Miles family by Claire Kingsley, they make wine, and I mean not so much in some of the other books, but like Cooper's book, he talks to the grapes, and like the grapes and like the care that he gives these grapes, and it's like this like added element to his personality, like the grapes are his babies.
Yeah.
And like how he is with the grapes is like a big part of like his character. So it's not so much, I mean, it's a big part of like the series as a whole, but like for his book, it's really like intense.
Thanks, Jenny. A Walk in the Clouds is the movie with Keanu
Oh,
Reeves.
I mean,
Everyone
it was
should
in the
watch it.
clouds.
I do have to say though, I think A Proposal They Can't Refuse by Natalie Kenya, which he is a whiskey distiller. I think the distillery itself is a bit of its own character in that book.
I think so because it's next door to the restaurant. So they're either in the restaurant for her side or they're in the distillery. And then you also have the added aspect of his grandfather
But
who started the
they're like
distillery and that
there
kind of.
for like that part of it is like a lot of the book takes place like in those two like spaces too. So it's like it's almost like a forced character, not in a bad way, but like she doesn't really take it outside of it. Like,
Except it's what is driving Killian's character,
this
right?
is
Like
true.
he's trying to do everything he can to hold. It's Killian, right? I think it's
It is Liam.
Liam.
Liam Kane. It's Kane
Liam.
Distillery.
I'm just picking random names now for
It
people.
happens. We just go with it.
But that's his whole driving force, right? Like,
Well, and if you're looking at like Make Me Exile by Marie Johnston,
yes.
like the whole premise of the book is her, Isla, like creating this space that's hers and hers alone. And so, yeah, that one in itself, like there's a lot of love and care that goes into the treatment of the brewery itself.
Yeah, I would say another one too is probably Lush Money by Angelina M. Lopez
Oh,
because
for
the whole
sure.
reason they get together is so that he can save the vineyards in his, where he's from so that they can save the kingdom, basically. So the reason, his whole reason for getting into the marriage situation is, to save the vineyards and save like his, the kingdom, I forget. Anyway,
Yeah,
so,
he's
and
a
it shows him
prince.
like, developing like the vines and stuff. Like he's working in California to like regrow these vines, but planning with a plan to take them back to Spain. So
Yeah. I agree. The vineyard is very important. It's interesting too because my favorite winery romances, my favorite romances that have a strong vintner in it, are the ones where the vines, the vineyard itself, is this very dynamic place and character.
Well, because it gets like you get emotionally attached to that setting also. And I think
Yeah.
that's a big part of like why it draws you in so much. Like if the author creates that emotional attachment to this inanimate object, and not necessarily inanimate like completely, but essentially this inanimate object, like you like connect to the story as a whole better because like she has created this love for this fictional place. Like it's like going to Narnia.
It is a little bit. And Broken Laces by Elise Faber. She's never written a winery romance, but the heroine in that book, her father owns a winery in Northern California. And I got done reading that and I instantly was like, when are we getting a winery series? Because
Oh, and
dad
we're
needs
getting a
his own book.
winery
And we're
series.
getting a winery series. I got
Oh,
an
are you?
email.
Who is
We
this again? Let
Elise,
me write this down. Okay. Elise
Elise Faber.
Faber. I don't think it's coming till 2025, but she sent me a
It's called
very
Bottled and it's called Bottles and Blades. It's gonna be an age gap. We already got like a little tease, like because we met like both characters in different series, so she's bringing two series together. It's going to be really good.
Yeah, I mean, this episode just like set it home that I need to read more, Vineyard series. So I'll be taking all the recommendations.
It's interesting because I got an email from her that was like, "Thanks. Thanks a lot. Now I can't turn that little plot bunny off." I'm like, "You're welcome."
Welcome. Stacy says she loves that about orchards too. The trees are a character. It fits if we talk cider makers
I
and
only
cideries.
found
This is how I'm
one
going.
cider maker romance, and that was Bittersweet by Serena Bowen.
I
Any
read
other
a lot where
ciders?
they drink cider, but they don't
Right.
really make the cider. But I had like Tia
I feel
Louise
like
has like
there's a
an actual
series in
orchard one, but
I
I
feel
feel
like
like
there's a
there's
series
another
in
one.
Virginia that they're cider makers. It takes place in Virginia.
It's possible. I don't even know.
Does Okay, Cloverleaf Farms by Melanie Harlow is Michigan wine. It's lake wine.
Wine. Yeah, it's
Wine.
wine.
Yeah. Okay, so next, character archetypes in these kinds of romances. Do we tend to see common characters amongst these distillers and brewers and vintners?
Grumpy men, grumpy, grumpy men.
That
That's
only
why I
want to
love
talk to their
tropes.
vines or their
Yes,
hops.
because Archer Steele is the grumpiest man, and he is my favorite winemaker from Caught by Love by Melissa Foster. And I love grumpy men.
Yeah, I, you know what,
So,
if you say that, I agree because,
I
like,
mean, I love a grump too.
I was thinking about Kelly Kay and her five
Oh yeah.
winery
Oh yeah,
series.
they're
So
all
she's
kind of
got a lot of
grumpy.
grumpy men in that series.
She does. Oh,
And
she's
Liam in A Proposal They Can't Refuse is grumpy. He's
so
pretty
grumpy.
grumpy.
The Wilder Brothers by Carrie Ann Ryan. How
Oh, they're all
grumpy are
grumpy.
all of them? Like every single one. And only book two, which is A Path to You, right? He's the only one that really has winery and talks about the vines.
Oh
Yeah,
yeah.
but like he works with the vines.
Right.
Like the rest of them, it's just
On the
there.
resort.
Well, and if you read A Wilder Wedding, like with the novella that just came out, like he is the vintner.
Is he?
Like,
I haven't read it
yeah,
yet. It's on my Kindle.
he is exceptionally grumpy.
He's all of those men are very, very grumpy.
Danica's book one, like in the McGregor Brothers Brewer, like he's kind of grumpy.
He's grumpy, and his brother in the second book or the third book is grumpy. Felix in the second book isn't grumpy. She's grumpy.
She's grumpy.
Yeah.
But Felix is just the bartender.
He is, but he's such a good guy. And
He
he puts up with a
is.
lot of crap.
Oh, he does,
I
yes.
think that the grump works for the bartender, though, too, because I had also another Melissa Foster. So apparently I like just grumpy Melissa Foster men because she has running on Diesel from her Whiskey Brothers in Peaceful Harbor. And Diesel is a bartender and Tracy is like a server at the
He's
Whiskey
pretty
Bros
grumpy.
bar. So it's like,
Come
okay, I like the
Again.
grumps.
Come Again by Jiffy Kate. He could not be grumpier.
Oh,
Like, if you have
yeah.
not read that book yet, you guys, what
Well,
are you even doing?
but you know, Ophelia's hiding in the smoke. Like, she's the bar owner, like,
Oh.
and she's grumpy.
Oh, God, I love that book.
She is super grumpy. Walk of Shame by Avery Flynn, the heroine, is the bartender in that book. But that book is just hilarious. So just read it.
Well, and then Kylie Scott's Dirty. Like, he's the bartender, right?
Yes.
I
Yeah.
mean, he's pretty crappy.
He is. And that is a great book for runaway bride and plus size heroine.
Wow, and also it's one of the few like single first person point of views that I like because it makes me kind of it makes me grumpy for those, but I didn't mind it in that like
She
that
does a really
series.
good job.
She does.
Kelly Jameson Top Shelf, which is part of her Aces Hockey series. He's the bar owner and also a hockey player.
And
And he
also
ha
grumpy.
and a mixologist is his heroine, and he is super grumpy. And he acts like he's just too good for everybody. And she like, no thank you, sir.
No, thank you. Yes.
Okay, so what other character archetypes
Sorry.
other than grumpy? Because apparently, well, because I was thinking about it. Oh, A Guy Walks Into My Bar by Lauren Blakely. The bartender, grouchy. And he's a hockey player that sits down at his bar.
Erin Nicholas taking it easy. It's in her Boys of the Big Easy series, I think. I don't remember the series name, but he is not grumpy.
He is
He
not.
he's not. He is not grumpy at all. And it's an accidental pregnancy, and he is elated, like so excited that his swimmers like hit the mark.
Wild Irish by Mary Carr. It's a whole series. The family owns a bar. There are some grumpy heroes in there, but there are some grumpy ladies, and there's
Yeah,
some.
the grumpiness is it's all over the place there.
But in that one too, you get some male, female, male, 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 female. You know, Mary Carr likes, she likes the threes.
She
Get a good
does.
mix.
She does. Devil in the Blue Jeans by Stacey Kennedy. The
Yeah.
heroine owns the bar, which that book, so
I have
funny.
that one on my list.
The hero is the grouch in that book.
He is. But he's also the former owner of the
Right.
bar, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a whole lot of bar tie into that one. I'm excited for the is the next one's not out yet, right?
No, it's come
But
out
okay.
later this summer, I think.
I also had On the Rocks from Sawyer Bennett. Hunter is not very grumpy either, but his brother is.
Yeah, he's just
So you
pretty
get a mix.
easygoing.
Yeah.
Well, but
But Gabby's grumpy, I guess.
Stacy
So.
Hart, so it's book one in her Austin series. It's called Wasted Words. It's a bookstore and a bar. So like the
Ooh.
owner of the bar in her book, she's fairly grumpy, but like by this book, she's not grumpy anymore because she's all loved up and like happy now. But the hero heroine in Wasted Words, and I cannot think of what her name is. I should have written it down, but she is not grumpy. She's actually like super nerdy, and I
Super
love
nerdy.
it.
Hendrix by Sawyer Bennett. She owns the bar. She's
Oh,
not
yeah.
grouchy. But one of the things I think we see in the bar owner romances is the owners are pretty intense characters. Almost single-minded, very determined. And I think that just comes with owning a business.
Yeah, I had Trevor from Claim and Protect by Rena Morgan. He's very intense.
Oh,
He
yeah,
is
he is. I
very
mean,
intense.
it's a Rena Morgan heroine
I love
hero,
him.
so of course he's intense.
Yeah. And then I think you get the boss employee a lot with those too, right?
You do. You do. Stirred by Charity Farrell. That's
Well, that
that,
whole series.
yeah, is that Twisted
Yeah.
Fox series.
Yeah. Taylor Holloway, who I actually am not sure if she is writing anymore, but she has a Lone Star Lovers book. So book one is he was in the NFL, but now he owns the bar. He's a little grumpy because he is not playing anymore because of an injury, but it's a little sister of the best friend, so it's always a good one too.
I will say, for bartenders, I do think we see a mix. Susie brings up, what about bartenders, male and female?
Yeah, there's a mix,
There's a
definitely.
mix, definitely. Because as I look, Walk of Shame, she's a female. The Top Shelf series by Kelly Jameson, she's the bartender. Well, Top Shelf, which is book two in her Aces, she's the bartender, he's the bar owner. Body Shop by Kelly Jameson. It's a tequila bar. It's three buddies that own it, but I think it's book two that she is one of their bartenders.
Anna Hackett, her book one of her Byrne brothers, like he owns the bar. It's like a bar nightclub, and then the heroine is one of the bartenders, like slash servers and like mixologists, because she helps create like some of the new drinks.
Our Wednesday book for our episode on Wednesday, Whiskey Secrets by Carrie Ann Ryan. The hero owns the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And his parents own the inn and connected to the bar. And the heroine is the innkeeper that his parents bring in. It's a great book, you guys. Okay. I cannot wait to talk about it with you all.
I'm starting it tonight, so.
Okay. Let's see here. Do we think that if we look at the four categories that we're talking about,
mm-hmm.
The question that came up was, do we think that like the Ventners are more sophisticated than the other characters that you would find in a brewery romance, a bartender or a distiller? I don't think so.
No.
I think the distillers are the snottiest and most sophisticated of the different
characters. I think it depends on the book though too.
Yeah.
For distillers, I have the DeBellis Crime Family by Kylie Kent. Like they make bourbon. But then I have Walker Rose's Bourbon Canyon, and they are not like uppity.
Sophisticated.
Like they're very down to earth.
But in the first one, well, in Bourbon Lullaby, though, you also get like Miles, who has the other
Miles
distillery, and he's a little uppity. So you get both in that series, I think.
That's true. But the basis of the series are not uppity. And I mean, they bring him down to their level.
Yeah, they do. It's just
a really good series that you need to start reading.
So we talked about the chemistry that, you know, there's science involved with all of these different professions, particularly those that are brewing something or distilling mm-hmm. or whatever. But let's talk about the chemistry of relationships in these books. Do you think the chemistry in these books is different than a coworker type book?
I think it can be, because sometimes there's a lot on the line. Like, mm-hmm. you know, if you're trying to get through a harvest with a winery, I mean, you have a set time frame. You have to worry about the weather. Similar things if you're trying to push out a product like a bourbon or a beer for a product launch or whatever. So I think it can bring like a set of circumstances where it gets a little tense.
I don't think it's so much
anything.
I don't think it's so much different or like more like, I think it's just, it's a different lane.
Yeah.
So like the chemistry is written different and read differently than the traditional like coworker type thing, because like the whole element of the story is different.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite scene involving drinks from any of these books or tasting, you know, tasting?
I mean, Ophelia's tequila scene.
That is by far probably my favorite.
It is a good scene. It's a really good scene.
Stacy says a lot that she's read are also small businesses, so it has a different vibe than corporate set coworkers.
That's a good point.
That is a good point.
Yeah. So there's a lot more on the line in that like situation.
Monica Murphy wrote a 3-book series about Sonoma, Napa. Book one is called Crave. There is a scene in that book where they are sitting on a deck next to a bonfire, looking out over the vineyard, and wine tasting takes a whole different turn. And that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Yeah,
I am. There's not
a
really,
lot
like,
with
stick out to me.
Yeah, I have a lot that are not part of like necessarily that involve maybe champagne, but are not necessarily
scandals
or vintners or anything.
They're just enjoying their champagne in a different way.
Scandals mm-hmm. of a Father by Zoe Blake.
Yes.
In the wine in his office.
Yes.
That was kind of spicy.
I mean, there's just a lot of spice in there.
There is some spice in that
book. Not a lot of consent, but a lot of spice.
as if they go hand in hand, right?
Yeah.
I will say, as I, because I had bartenders, I had more bartender probably than any other book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I just want to put it out there. If you own a bar, please don't have sex on your bar. There are several books that that happens. And
oh, but if you do, just Lysol the shit out of it, please.
I mean,
because there's just, not, there's a lot of sex on bars, but not a, a lot of cleanup afterwards.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of the whole kitchen counter thing. You shouldn't eat at everybody's house.
But also at the same time, what I don't know won't hurt me.
Right. I guess. It's just, it was a thought.
Because you have to wonder, how many bars have you been where there is sex on it?
Yeah.
And I hope it's zero. But you never know.
You just, you
know. So I worked in a restaurant, so.
You're going to plead the fifth?
Yeah.
Amanda's like, I don't know anything. I see nothing. That's... I hear nothing. Okay. What books of wineries did we not mention when we were talking earlier that you want to make sure people know about? I have the Marcelli series by Susan Mallory. Now, these do fade to black, I believe.
Don't all her books fade to black?
I think all her books fade to black. But it is a family series of wineries, and there's a romance to each book, and each sister has their own book. And it's really well done. And again, a lot of attention is given to the winery itself and the science of winemaking.
Mm-hmm. So Catherine Bybee has one in her D'Angelo series. It's book 3. So the hero is the sommelier in their family's restaurant, but he wants to learn how to make the wine. So like the beginning of the book, like he goes on a trip to Italy to do like a wine tour to like study. And his heroine, her family owns a winery, like a vineyard.
Oh, nice.
So like they meet on the trip, and then her dad's a piece of shit though. We don't like him, but it's a really good story because it gives that like different aspect to like the story itself. Cause he wants to learn. And so like they go on like the trip and stuff.
Okay.
The only one I had that we didn't talk about was Promise Me Forever by Layla Hagen.
Oh,
and that's Tate and one. Lexi. I think that's book 1 in the Maxwell Brothers series.
It is.
He's like the CEO of
he's more
Maxwell
of like,
Wineries.
Yeah,
it's not a ton of wine, but it's you know, he brings a lot of wine home.
He does. He talks about wine a lot.
He does.
Well,
do you have another one, Beck?
Yeah, Right Rivals by K.A. Lindy. She has the Right Family Winery series. It's a spinoff from her Wright brothers. It's pretty good. There's a little bit of enemies to lovers in that book. Warring families, two wineries kind of
fighting
against each other.
Book 1 of Bryn Asher's Killer series, the heroine, like she buys a winery, and then Crew, the hero, buys the property next door. And that's how they meet. But yeah, so she
forgot about that one.
But a lot of that book takes place like in the winery, and they do like game nights and like this haunted like room in the winery. It's just a lot of fun.
That one has a good like farm feel to it.
Yeah, she has a pet cow named
Cow.
Yeah.
Tessa Bailey has a Vine Mess series. I think it's her current series that she has out.
Ooh, that would be wild.
The one with the wedding, the bride on the front cover.
Oh, okay.
It's purple.
Oh, yeah, it's like that light purple color.
Yeah, the runaway. It's a runaway bride. That takes place in winery. I've not read it, but it's out there. Do you have any other wineries, Leah?
I don't. Like, there's some that are like, they're in there, but they're not coming out.
So if you are looking for a cozy mystery, now this is so off-brand, but I'm just going to put it out there. If you're looking for a cozy mystery, the Merlot Murders by Ellen Crosby are very good. And there is a romance that, you know, she and I think he's the neighboring venter. They kind of have a little bit of tension and enemies to lovers. And it's really, it was really good. Okay. Brewery romances that we didn't mention yet. Any others?
The Jacksons by Lexi Ryan.
How did I not even have that on my list?
Oh. I know. I'm a little disappointed in you.
You should be.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
Like, that was one of the first ones I thought about. But then I was looking at your list. I'm like, how dare she forget about this? Because this is one of those series that you make everybody read.
It is. It totally is. And you know what, though? But I didn't even have Claim and Protect as a bar owner.
Well, this is true.
Oh, I got that one.
Yeah. You're slipping, Rebecca. You're slipping.
I told you I wasn't overly preparing very it's on true. The mark today.
You read a lot. You did not.
I did.
But yes, so The Jacksons by Lexi Ryan, and then also the Blue Moon series by Lucy Score. The brothers open a brewery like that they name after their father. And then I think it's book four or five, like one of the step siblings, the three girls that come into the family, like she like is like the manager of the brewery, and it's so you get more of the brewery in her book.
Let's see here. Silver Brewer by L.B. Dunbar. It's small town. He is grumpy and owns a brewery.
Yay.
Well, they're older, too, because L.B. Dunbar's characters are always older, which is nice.
Tempting Max by Mimi Kinley. Did we mention Mimi?
No, not yet. I had that one on my list to talk about.
I really like that series. Well, I like that book. I've Beta Alpha Red book two.
Oh, okay, I was going to say, has she got book two coming out soon? Because it's three brothers.
Three brothers, yeah. Okay. I've alpha read it. I'm not sure what her publishing schedule looks like. She's had a lot of family life.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So,
I also had, I read, because I didn't have that many breweries, so I went like searching, and Amazon gave me Ales, Fair, and Love and War by Sylvie Stewart. Which is really cute. It's like a rom-com. He owns a bar next to Cash, and he's kind of grumpy. He owns a bar next to Hollis, who has like a pet grooming business. And they're like warring with each other over like the dumpster and the parking spots. And so it was really cute. It's called Blue Bigfoot Beer is his bar. And his mom has like a pet skunk also, who she brings in to get like glamorized at the spa and gets her, you know, her little nails painted. It was pretty cute.
So do you know who is author besties with Sylvie Stewart?
No, who?
Amy Award. And they might be coming on an episode later this summer.
She might be.
Oh, that's fun. Oh, because, that book was really cute. Like, I'm going to read the rest of the series.
We're very excited.
Because it's brothers.
Amy's bringing a friend.
She's bringing two friends. She's bringing two friends. So, which is, you know, one more friend than I have. Just kidding.
It's going to be a little chaotic.
It will be big time chaotic. Did I mention The Forever Formula by Kendall Ryan?
Not yet.
It takes place in Colorado. It's three brothers that start a brewery together. I've read book one. I do not know what book two and three came out yet. Mm. Okay, bartenders. Is there any bartenders we forgot to mention?
I didn't have a bartender, but I had like a bar. It's the Bad Alibi Bar from the Redemption series by Jessica Prince, because that's like my current binge. So in the first book, which is called Bad Alibi, like the heroine is, she moves into town and she starts working at the bar, and Cannon is, he's like in an MC and they meet at the bar, but it's like, it has like a place in all of the books. Like they all hang out at Bad Alibi. A couple people work there.
Fun.
So it's like, it's very much a character in this whole small town. So I think that's the only one I had that we didn't talk about.
I have Mine for Winter by Carrie Elks. She owns the bar with her dad, and the hero is like money manager. He's in finance.
Is that the last one?
That's the last one.
Okay.
Yep. And it's just really well done. And that book is interesting because sometimes we don't always get the hardships of owning a business or a bar like that, and the amount of time that has to be spent in the bar working on
like how late the bar is open a lot of times.
And the things that she's missing out on for her son, because you know she can't afford to hire that many employees and such. So that was that's really good. I really liked that one. The Bad Brothers by Jacinda Wilder.
I forgot about that one. I had the Molly McAdams Brewed series.
Oh, yeah, which is the bar coffee shop kind of space. Okay, distillers. Who do we got for distillers?
I already named my two, and I have like no other distillers. But like I was saying before, there is a book where somebody is making moonshine and she's learning the art of making moonshine. But I cannot for the life of me think of what the book is, who the author is. I know nothing aside from I really like the book. And
It's
Jenny.
not bootleg springs, is it? Right? No.
No, they don't
no,
make
they're
moonshine.
Not. Okay.
They just drink the moonshine. They don't
okay.
make the moonshine.
Yeah. None of them even work in a restaurant or a bar, do they, in that book?
Do they?
No.
Okay. I can remember.
No,
Gibson
plays and like he just plays music and they go to the
okay.
bar.
Yeah.
So Jenny, if it is the Green Valley one, tell me what it is because I need to know because it makes me really want to reread it.
I have the Whiskey Men series by Hope Ford. They are a group of brothers that own a distillery together, and the one I read was Something Real, and he is the distributor, and it's an age gap, Silver Fox. I don't think it's Wander on that cover. It might be Wander.
Let me look it up.
You can look it up. We talked a proposal they can't refuse. The Bourbon Kings by J.R. Ward.
I need to read that now because I saw that come up, but I haven't read that.
That's the only series by J.R. Ward that I've read.
It is Wander.
Is
on
it
the
Wander?
Cover. It's Wander and a lady.
And a lady. It's a pretty sexy cover.
It's not so bad. Here, let's see if we can get a good picture of it. There we go.
Yeah. Hello, Wander.
That's Wander. Hello, Wander.
The Becker Brothers series by Candy Steiner. I have not read it, but Gretchen read it and really liked it. Supposedly, they are distillers. There is a book coming later this summer. Later in the month of June.
It's mid-June, I think.
Bourbon and Lies by Victoria Wilder.
I'm very excited.
I am super excited for this book. Yeah. Small town, family distillery. I am there for this book. I cannot wait.
Yeah, it sounds really
the
good.
Only one I had that we didn't talk about was A Little Twist by T.L. Louise.
Yep.
And that's book two in the Stay series. So he's the owner of the Stone Cold Distillery. It's like small town. That one's really good. He's a single dad. They kind of reconnect. She's helping him take care of his daughter. That was my favorite in that series.
I think that's my favorite
that
in that series too. Okay, so those are our brewers, venters, distillers, and bartenders. Hope you have some new book recs to read. And guess what time it is?
Or if there is one that we didn't mention that you know of, let us know because I'm always like up for those ones.
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially distillers because clearly we don't read enough of those.
Marley and Peaches and Dreams is the only one that is a main character that distills and opens her own shop.
But it's not her. That's not the one I'm thinking of.
Okay.
But thank you, Jenny. I appreciate it. So Marley in Peaches and Dreams distills her own moonshine.
But guess what time it is?
It's that time.
It's that time.
For
book of the week.
Leah
book
went
of the
like
week.
Right in there.
I know, right? She is, you know.
She's ready to
go. It makes me happy. It's the little things.
Amanda, what's your book of the week?
Okay, so because I was preparing for this episode, I finally read Blush Money by Angelina M. Lopez.
So good.
That book, you guys, if you haven't read that book, Roxanne Medina is the heroine, and she is like the epitome of a boss babe. Like she owns like a multi-billion-dollar company, enough money that she can basically pay a prince to marry her and father her baby, and that's what she does. And Mateo is not happy about it, and he's trying to save his kingdom, growing new vines in California so he can save his kingdom in Spain, and the tension between these two is, like, it is just off the charts. Like, that book was so good, and I read
so
a lot of
good.
Books this week, and that was by far my favorite.
It's such a good read. It is such a good read.
Yeah.
You know what? And we talked about bartenders and bar owners, and we didn't talk about After Hours on Milagro Street.
Oh, you're right. We didn't.
What is wrong with us?
I don't know.
Anyway.
That's what's wrong with us.
If you haven't read that book, people, read that book. Just go read Angelina M. Lopez. Her backlist is not that gigantic.
And the Milagro Street books are currently in KU.
They are currently in
So.
KU, so good stuff. Leah, what's your book of the
Okay.
week?
My book of the week is The Vendetta by Rebecca Sharpe. It's book one in her Vigilante series. It's just really good. Like, she likes a morally gray hero who's kind of an alpha hole at the same time. And yeah, Harm is definitely that. And he's protecting this girl, but finds out she is somebody that he has some bad blood with other people, like in her life. And so it weaves and it's really good. But I'm really excited for the rest of this series because they're like, she's dropping Easter eggs about stuff. And I'm like, I think I know where she's going with this one character. And I don't know if I'm right, but I bet that's going to be the last freaking book.
Of
And so I'm real
course,
grumpy about it.
always.
Of course. You kind of are in your Rebecca Sharpe era right now.
I really enjoy her books. And like, it's one of those things where like, I'll read a couple and then I'll like, but then I'll. I was really in my dark era this weekend. I read a lot of dark because I went down a Zoe Blake Alta Hemsley, like that series. There's a lot of plot holes though, so like I'm
Yeah, that's
grumpy
why I
about it.
stopped that first one, 'cause
Yeah, so I had to
it
stop.
was holy like the Pope.
But then I read some Jane Henry, and like it was just a lot of like there was a lot of killing. Consent was not always present in everything, and
Leah's in her violent era.
I just apparently that's what I needed this week.
That's okay.
What about you? What was your book of the week?
So I'm not late to the party. I don't think it's only been out for a couple weeks.
No, I read it like the day it came out, so.
Okay.
Yeah, you're
I
not late to
am
the party.
reading A Measure of a Man by Molly MacLean. This is the third book in the Coal Creek series. This is Jinx's story. It's an age gap where she is older. And I am swooning with love for Jinx and Rachel. Like,
Do you like
it's.
Jinx more than you like Jesse? Because Jesse holds a special place in your heart.
He does. But I have to tell you something, Leah. Molly kind of makes Jesse in the first half of the book look like a douchebag.
I know, Amanda told me.
It makes me a little sad,
But she said it's
but it gets
okay by the
better. It gets
end.
better. I
Okay.
promise. It gets better.
Anyway, I don't know. It's so hard. I think Jinx is one of those where acts of service is his love language,
Yes.
and he has a heart that. He kind of reminds me of Aaron Wilde, like just that sweetheart that
Oh,
just
yeah.
keeps giving and just cares and loves big.
Will Wilde be dethroned?
I don't know. I don't know. Don't
He
make
is
me.
very wild-like. I didn't even think about that, but
He is
he is.
really
I didn't know
wild-like.
that would be possible.
It's a moment, Leah. Just it's a moment,
Okay.
okay?
Jenny says, oh no.
it was jinxed. Yeah, I'm.
You're in for
Take
that.
notes, people, for episodes that are will happen at the end of the year. I'm just saying.
Yeah, Big
Just saying.
Brother's gonna be asking.
For both of us.
Yeah, because gosh, there's
I mean,
anyway.
Amanda read him first.
She
I
did. I don't
did.
care.
So,
I don't
She's like,
freaking
I'm gonna take him away
dibs.
from you.
Amanda called dibs.
Did.
Whatever. We're not talking about that right now. Okay, Patreon update. We got time for our Patreon update.
We
Our May
do.
swag packs have hit all the mailboxes. And our sponsors for May were author Gracie Cooper and Maude Winters with a little something special from Laura Lynn Page. Inside each pack, discover an array of loved-themed goodies designed to ignite your passions for love stories. And guess what? We ship these worldwide, so everyone can join in on the fun. But wait, there's more. By becoming a part of our Patreon family, you unlock exclusive perks like access to special episodes. Remember, Quick Shots of Romance are now over on our Patreon, and our fabulous buzzing book club, The Ultimate Romance Adventure. Stay tuned and updated for all of our events by subscribing to our newsletter and checking out our event calendar at bookcaseandcoffee.com/events for happy hours to IG lives and book clubs. There's always something exciting happening in our community. And later this week, we are launching Summer Reading Challenge.
Yay! Summer Reading.
It will be a little low-key, not as intense, but, you know.
Still fun.
It'll still be fun, I promise. I updated new prompts. It'll be great. So, yeah, lots of good stuff happening. We're not taking the summer off completely. We'll be here every week. So that's a wrap for our for this episode of Buzzing About Romance, where we toasted to the best brewers, distillers, vintners, and bar-themed romance. We hope you enjoyed our deep dive into these intoxicating love stories and found some new favorites to add to your reading list. Remember, just like a fine wine or perfectly crafted cocktail, a great romance novel can be savored and shared. Don't forget to subscribe and rate and review our podcast if you enjoyed today's episode. Follow us on social media for more romance recommendations and join our community of romance readers who love to chat about all things love and literature. Cheers to you, our listeners, for making each episode a celebration of love. Join us back here Wednesday night for our next episode as we are reviewing Whiskey Secrets by Carrie Ann Ryan. And then we'll be back next Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We got all the things. We are not stopping. Until next time, happy reading, everybody, and keep buzzing about romance.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.